Sorry for starting about 15 minutes later, but great to have you all here. Good evening. This is, we've opened this show on the 28th of March, and this is the second event that we've had since the opening. The project has had a much longer trajectory. The Divorce Post Office is the second edition curated by Grant Watson, and the first exhibition was called Divorce Universal Allegories. So within this broadening of the exhibition and its travel from London, Geneva, to here in GBK, Berlin, Vivian Zeherin and I had the privilege to place our research and various artists from the school Shantiniketan into the show, and also narrate the aspect of the post office divorce play from 1912 that we will discuss in detail today, to place that allegorical significance within a decolonial narrative, within the frame of the interwar period in Europe, especially in Germany and Poland. So to really extend the canvas of both the play, the school Shantiniketan, the Rural Reconstruction Institute, Shriniketan. So all of those are plotted in this particular segment, and in between the work of these two fantastic artists, Anna Bobigyan, Goshna Matsuga, and of course the Autolith group, right in the beginning of the show. There's also a research network attached to the project, which is led by Andrea Phillips, and several members are here. We won't go too much into that at this point, but as part of this research methodology, I would really like to warmly welcome Elzbieta Walter, who is a divorce scholar, who is also interestingly an alumnus of Shantiniketan from between 1976 to 78. So her memories and experience of the school are extremely important to also the kind of shifts, radical shifts that have taken place there, which are now experienced by the faculty. Sanchan Ghosh and Anshul Dasgupta were there currently. And so, to continue, Elzbieta is also chair of South Asian Studies at the Faculty of Oriental Studies at the University of Warsaw, and is a scholar in Bengali studies, which includes not just West Bengal but also Bangladesh, interestingly, since the nation was split. So, the pre and post partition narratives of the region are our universality. I just wanted to also say that for those of you who did experience the show, it's been important, another piece of theatre production that we started this segment with is a production of Dakhar made by an Indian playwright called Kanhaila, and it's also where Tagore's patriotism that is now catching fervor is turned on its head, is made into a sort of subversive narrative through by Kanhaila and Savitri Devi, who run a theatre group since 1969 in Manipur, which is a state that has been held under the Armed Forces Special Powers Act and has been ceaselessly put through violence by the Indian state. So it's been very important how one play can travel across history and speak even today as in this subversive tone. And with those words, we're very, very happy to move on now to Elzbieta's scholarly sort of investigation of the post office in Poland and Tagore's reception and perception in Poland.
Thank you very much for invitation, first of all. I'm very happy to be here. Thank you very much for being here and to Natasha and to me and to the Office of the Institution for inviting me here. I didn't know that I had a limited time, so I prepared a much longer presentation. In the last moment, I was actually shortening the project, so I will not talk about translations of post office in Polish, only about stage. But I have to start a little bit from the translation. I want to tell you that altogether, which is very significant, there are five different translations of post office in Polish. Four of them were done before the Second War. Three of them were done before the Second War. And two of them were done after the Second War. four of them are direct translation from English, and the last one was done from Bengali. Polish TV wanted to make a new production, and since I am also a translator from Bengali into Polish, so they asked me to do it. So I'm the author of the last and the only one translation directly from Bengali. And before I will go to the staging of the post office, I would like to say a few words about the plot of the play, because I'm not sure if everyone here is familiar, just, you know, a very few words. So the main character of the play post office, is a small boy, his name is Amal. Amal in my Bengali translation it would be Amal. Amal is also a means that one who doesn't have any birth of himself. All names in Bengali come from Sanskrit, and there is a meaning. So this meaning is very clear. And the boy is seriously ill, so the doctor tells the boy's foster father that the child must not go outside. He's kept inside the house. But the boy has an intense curiosity about the world, outside world, and he talks to people who are passing by this window. Such people like, for example, a flower girl whose name is Shubha, which is also significant because it means immortality, ambrosia in English, a watchman, a card seller, a village headman, and also boys who are going to play, but he comes, so he suffers a lot, but at least he gives them their toys. And the boy often dreams that perhaps one day he receives a letter from the king, because just in front of his house, the king opened a new post office. And so this is the story. That's why the title, post office. And he does get it, he gets a letter from the king just before he drifts into sleep, which can be interpreted mystically as a symbolism of death. So we don't know whether he dies, or he falls asleep, or, you know, this is open. Because this is symbolic. This is symbolic play. This is not normal, just, you know, everyday play. So you can interpret it in many ways. And it is, usually it is done. As far as the staging of the post office are concerned, altogether there are about 10 public stage productions of the play in Poland. That takes into account professional theater stage production, amateur performances, and TV broadcasts. I mean here, of course, the number of adaptations and not a number of individual performances, which would be significantly higher, of course, because when performance was staged in a theater, it was shot at least several times, so altogether would be much more. Interestingly enough, the first staging of the post office in Polish language took place in Kiev, which is now in Ukraine. The play was titled Biura Pocztowe, which is the literal translation of the post office, and I explained to it, I mean, I did not explain to it because I didn't speak about translation, but this is a very bad translation called Biura Pocztowe because it is a literal translation, the two words in English, post office, post, Pocztowe and Biura. It means I bet probably the knowledge of the language of English was not very high of the translator, of course. And this is because, you know, this translation was done just after the Second World War, it was just after the boy got the Nobel Prize. And English was in that time not very much popular in Poland, as you may, as you know probably, it was German, in German parts of Poland, and also Russian. But English became very popular only after the Second World War. The staging, I think even, you know, a critic of this play when it was staged in Poland, and I will read you because I came across it just recently before I came here, so I made a rough translation from Polish. Tagore showed us the the beauty of daily life. He was able to force us to feel God's beauty that remains in every minute of life. He caused that together with him, we immersed in the contemplation of what we call a banal commonplaceness. We trembled in our hearts and started to admire the current life that is flowing in every minute through the living world. So this is a very nice review, written in a little bit, it was written nearly 100 years ago, and at that time Polish language was a little bit different, so the translation is also, I would say, rather high style, very bookish, I would say, also. So this first staging of Poland was done, as I told you, in Kiev. And why in Kiev, perhaps you wonder, why in Kiev? It is not in any other Polish city, I mean, Kraków, Warsaw, or Lwów. And there are two reasons. Firstly, it was due to the fact that during that time, it was 1918, there was still the First World War going on Polish territories. And secondly, until Poland regained its independence in 1918, Kiev was one of the most important Polish centers and cultural capital for Poles on emigration. Because many Polish people emigrated to Kiev. It gave them more, a perspective of work. And that was the reason. So when the First World broke, and there lived over 100,000 Polish people in Kiev, and the city, and it was a city where theater life was really blooming. There were several theaters that played Polish plays, and also one of them was post-office. The next two-stage production of the post-office, oh, I forgot to change. No, this is number 15, so, okay, yes. The next two stages of the post-office were done in independent Poland. It means in 1920 and also 1924, and here you can see the poster. The poster is also on an exhibition, and this is a poster from the archives of Słowacki Theater in Kraków, in the south of Poland. Between the two world tours, the post office was staged in Poland two more times, in Vilnius, which is now a city in Lithuania, and also twice in Vilnius. We also have some critic review about these stages. One was written by a very famous at that time theater critic. But unfortunately, he criticized the director of the play. I mean, not the play itself, but he claimed that the director of Poczta, post office, did not grasp the symbolic meaning of the post office, and by doing it, he barbarized the original text of the play. And I will read you this review. I sat humbly watching the play, and it was all Greek to me. That means he did not understand. He did not understand anything. Tagore's play has a construction that the director of the play could not understand. Both the flower girl and the milkman, the characters from the play, are supposed to be symbols and not real people a la Zola. To stage the post office is to reveal Tagore, and to reveal Tagore is to reveal a true treasure that needs to be looked after. If we look after the treasure for a long enough time, it will enlighten us, heal us, and make us feel well. So these were staging of post office before my second tour. Now I will come to this person. This is the S, and this is S, I don't know if you know, this is Janusz Korcza. And he will be a very important person in this what I want to tell you about. So the most dramatic staging of the post office in Poland took place during the Second World War, and it was an orphanage run by Janusz Korczak in Jewish ghetto in Warsaw. Janusz Korczak, whose original name was Henryk Goldschmidt, he was a Jew, was a medical doctor, educator, and writer. He was also, we would say in contemporary words, a children's rights activist, and also a social worker, and so on. So, I would like to describe the circumstances under which the post office was staged during the Second War. So this is my next pictures, yes. And so this is a picture of ghetto in Warsaw. In 1940, the ghetto for Jewish people was formed in Warsaw under the Nazi occupation. The ghetto was surrounded by 10 feet high wall, which was almost 10 miles long. And during the Second World War, Warsaw ghetto had the largest Jewish population in Warsaw. The ghetto was ruled by terror, and people were suffered of poverty, diseases, primitive sanitary conditions, and overcrowdedness. In a small area as small as 4 square kilometers, there lived around 450,000 Jewish people in a peak time. The biggest problem was hunger and starvation. Apart from the sanitary conditions, there was also a spreading of various infectious diseases that attacked the inhabitants of the ghetto. People were dying in masses, very often on streets, from where they were taken to a local cemetery and buried in anonymous mass graves. There is also a cemetery there. In such conditions, there are some pictures from ghetto. I will show you. The orphanage for children, it was called in Polish, Dom Sierot, means house of children, orphans actually. This house of orphans was co-founded by Dr. Korczak. And the staff of this in Dom Sierot, means house of orphans, they make extraordinary efforts to create at least some imitation of homely atmosphere for the children in there. So, since there were no regular schools in ghetto, the children were taught in orphanage, and also, what is important in connection with this play, there were a lot of cultural activities for the children and also for visitors, such as concerts and amateur theater performances. Music, poetry, and theater were offering the inhabitants of ghetto an escape from everyday reality, tragic reality of course, and could bring some consolation and joy into their life. So they played both, I would say, therapeutic and educational role. Some more pictures. One can wonder why Korczak chose to stage the post office, especially when we remember that the Nazis forbade Jews to perform works written by Aryan authors. The committee sponsoring the orphanage was very much against the staging of the play in fear of persecutions. From a Korczak diary, we know that he was very much interested in Indian culture and philosophy. And we can also find that there is a suggestion that he might have practiced yoga. This is the comment Korczak made about exercising. Yes. The breathing exercises were more or less okay. but my fingers remained very weak though. The energy did not run through them, India, Holy India. The newest, well, I hope it is okay, it's coming. Yes, next pictures. Yeah. The newest sources indicate that, however, that Korchak's direct inspiration to stage the post office came actually from two different dreams he had in 1942, and they were recorded in his diary. In the first one, in the first dream, Korchak dreamt that he was in a remote village far away in an unknown country that he had never visited before. The place was surrounded by different trees and grass, and people wore completely different kind of clothes. In his dream, Korchak met a local village man who knew all about the war and starvation in Poland and wanted to send marmalade, cheese and sausage for Polish children. However, he then said this: "Apparently, I can't send anything, it's not allowed." This is a quotation from Korchak's diary. "Apparently, the post office confiscates the parcels. Post office is a very clever invention. If you need something and we have it, we can post it to you for a small fee." In a second dream, Korchak again found himself in a very remote place. He then found out that it was India, that he was in India. And this is what happened to him in his dream from his diary, again, quotation. "Then a handsome old man with great white beard, good eyes and a wise forehead came up to see me. It seems to me that I have met him, that I knew him, and that I had seen him before. Of course, it was Rabindranath Tagore. His philosophy is very familiar to me. I have seen the photo of this great poet and thinker in the books and in various magazines." And then Tagore asked about Miss Estera, and Tagore in Korchak's dream asked about Miss Estera, who was Korchak's colleagues and co-worker in his orphanage, and said that he had a little book for her about the post office, and she could stage the book with the children from the orphanage. And Korchak writes again: "A few days later, a parcel came from the Copenhagen containing cheese, sausage, jam, and Mrs. Stera stayed at the post office during Passover. I found that these two dreams of mine very were." So the post office, and probably it was a translation done by Jan Stuhl, it was the second translation, because I told you there are already five translations, yes. So it was the last performance staged in the Korchak orphanage in Warsaw Ghetto. The children staged the play on the 18th of July 1942, and a few days later, on the 22nd of July, Nazis went forward with a action to liquidate the ghetto and transported masses of Jewish people to the concentration camp in Lviv. The people were transported from a small square called in German Umschlagplatz, which means loading square. It was a little square by the train depot. A lot of information was preserved about Korchak's street production of the post office on the 18th of July 1942. We even have statements about the performances from witnesses survived Holocaust. But in the description of his dreams in his diaries, Korchak clearly writes that the first staging of the post office in the orphanage took place during the Passover in early April 1942. But it was a closed performance only for children and staff, so we know very little about it, but quite a lot about this last performance. According to some researchers, the staging during this Jewish, how to say, festival, Passover, Passover, is very symbolic because in Jewish tradition, Passover also commemorates the release of Jewish from Egyptian enslavement and symbolizes the coming of the Messiah who will save the world. The fact that the post office was staged on the exact date of Passover suggests that regardless, all the cruelty that took place in the Warsaw Ghetto, Korczak did actually believe that a miracle was going to happen, and he wanted to share his hope with both children and the staff of the orphanage to console them. However, other researchers claim that Korczak chose the post office to mentally prepare the children from the orphanage for their close and inevitable death. The post office was directed by the Korczak younger colleague, his name was Ms. Estera Winogronowna, in Polish we say, who was a teacher in the orphanage, and who also organized a lot of cultural activities for children. She knew the post office, the play post office by Tagore, because when she was a student in Jewish school in Warsaw, in 1926, that many years before, she played a role in this play, and that stage production that took place in a school, it was a Jewish the Jewish school's girls. A school named Yehudia, this stage production, which is very important, was directed by Jakub Rafan, who later became a very famous director of Polish and Jewish theater after the Second War. He survived and came back to Poland and was a very famous Polish and Jewish theater director, because there are also Jewish theater, for example, in Warsaw still there is a theater only for Jewish plays. And he was also a painter and illustrator. This is how a friend of Estera Winogronowna, who was present at those performances and who survived the Holocaust, he remembers the performance. I will read you about it. Saturday, 18, 1942, the atmosphere in the ghetto was very heavy. There was a warmth of impending disaster. Today I went with my small sister to Korczak's orphanage to the performance of the post office. When we got there, we at once found ourselves in a different world. The atmosphere... Oh, well, it is not this way. Okay. The atmosphere was festive and full of excitement. There were many guests. The children's excited faces showed their eagerness to see the show. It was beautifully done by Estera Winogronowna, I mentioned about her, a dear friend of mine. The performance was very touching, full of color and movement. It was well received by everyone with loud applause, and by adults, with gratitude for the way it enabled them to forget the terrible realities of life. As I left, I felt a huge contrast between the loving humanity inside the orphanage and the inhuman world around us. Perhaps Korczak staged the post office because he saw similarities between the main character of the play, who, as you remember, he was a small child, sick, in a place not allowed to go outside, and children in his care. The children, like Amal, the main character, were imprisoned also in a confined space. Remember, I didn't tell you, but it was terrible overcrowdedness in the ghetto. So children longed for freedom, and they dreamt of running away. To confirm this, we know that in May 1942, children from the Korczak's orphanage, they wrote a touching letter to the priest of the church, which was next to the border, ghetto border, on the other side of the wall. And And they asked the priest to allow them to go to the garden and have some fresh air. This is a fragment from the original letter. We would like to kindly ask you to allow us to visit the parish gardens a few times on Sunday mornings between 6:30 and 10 a.m. in the morning. We miss greenery and fresh air so much. It is very crowded and suffocated on our side of the wall. We would like to get to know the plants and make friends with them. We are not going to destroy anything. Please don't refuse us visits to your garden and children's name, Zygmunt Semihabraszek Kankara. A Polish friend of Dr. Korczak, he was a doctor, he was a pediatrician, and he was called by everybody the old doctor. It was reported that some Polish friends went to see him in ghetto. It was possible because there was always possibility to do something perhaps not completely illegal. And they offered him asylum on the Polish side of the city, so-called Arab side of the city. But he refused, which is absolutely understandable, he refused to abandon the children and rejected the opportunity of saving himself. This is, questionable, because I can't imagine that he could live with children. And anyway, he was 63 or 64 in the time. We don't know the exact date of his birth, because his father, who was a lawyer and was very educated, his father did not register it for a long time. Probably he didn't know what to choose, whether he wanted him to be Jewish, he registered him. He would be Jewish or whether Polish, so we don't know the exact date of his birth. But anyway, he was 63 and he was really sick. He had some heart problems, he had swollen legs, he could hardly move. So I can't imagine that he could live. That is absolutely normal. So this is not the act of heroism, as some people say. He was a great person, he was a great humanist, but it is not that important in my opinion, at least. And just a couple of days after the performance, I told you that the performance was on the 18th of July, because the first one was only for children and staff, so you don't have any account about this. Only one account in Korczak's diary he mentioned about his first performance. The Nazis deported Korczak, his assistants, and 200 children from the Auschwitz Umschlag flats. From where they were taken to Treblinka, the concentration camp, and all of them died. The famous Polish movie director, perhaps some of them heard about him, Andrzej Wajda. He produced in the 1990s, he produced a movie titled Korczak. These are pictures from the movie, and in this movie he showed the staging of the post office in ghetto. That is what I talked about. It's of course artistic imagination by the director, film director. But this is Sudha, the girl, flower girl, who brings flowers to Omel. Well, here, so this is Amal, sick, and the doctor wearing glasses, yes, because the play was staged by children, and children in Korczak's orphanage, they had to leave it when they were 14 years old, so children were quite young. As you can see here, some pictures from this, this is the last scene, I think, yes. Yes, now the last thing is like this. And this film ends with a little bit of onirik scene, of Korczak traveling with children in the last carriage of the train going to Treblinka, which is the name of his concentration camp. And then the carriage gets disconnected from the main train, the door opens, and Korczak prison peers with the children into the horizon, and as you can see, everybody is happy, they are great split. And I didn't know it before I made some studies about Korczak and his play in Poland, that the director of the play, Andrzej Wajda, was very much criticized for this ending of this film, because some film critics in France, where the film was shown, criticized the director that for the people who don't know history, it gives an impression that they went for a picnic and they were safe, which is absolutely ridiculous. But he was, you know, accused of being anti-Semitic. Yeah, so I didn't know he did it before, so I learned about it. So this is from this Korczak. The film was Black and White, of course, and it was quite good film, so if you have opportunity, you can see. And now we are coming, all the war is over, and a new time. So after the Second World War, there was no professional stage production of the post office in theater. Before, I told you, several in different places in Poland before the Second World War, but after, no, in theater. However, one radio and three television adaptation were produced. Perhaps the new media became television, so more important. So, in 1960, the Polish radio broadcast the post office on nationwide radio. And here is a picture. This is a TV production of the post office in 1958. This is a picture I got from TV, a nice picture. And the second one, yes, I would say the stage was a little bit in a fairy mode, in a fairy mode style. I didn't see this production, but I didn't see. Yes, so this is wait a minute. We don't have much information about this production, so I obtained only these two photos. And now, the premiere of the next production, TV production, took place in 1975, and it was based on the translation of 1958, directed by the very famous, I would say he lives in Poland, but he's by origin. I don't know if you heard about Agnieszka Holland, Polish film director. Okay, so he was with that. Okay. And this is now pictures from the last production, this production, in which they used my translation, directed from Bengali. It was done 1 year later, but it was broadcast in this year. And it was directed by Maciej Plus, which is a very famous theater director in Poland. And it was broadcasting a television theater for children. The production I told you was based on this Bengali translation from the Bengali language. The screening was repeated 10 years later in 2008. I will show you some pictures about it. So this is Amal, this is Dr. Fakir. Fakir, from here also? Did I do something wrong? Oh, I'm afraid I did something. Okay.
Press exit.
Sorry, perhaps you will be able to.
I am.
Because I still have very nice picture to show you, so I hope. I think I touched.
Three fingers wide.
Three fingers wide.
So this is a picture number. Does it show which number? No, but okay. So this is Fakir and this is Amal. I just want to tell you something about it. So this production was very austere and very serious in its tone, with a very basic stage set and costumes. And the whole stage, and as you can see, It was the first production in color, but the colors are very, I would say, mostly white and gray. The play was slightly shortened by the director. And interestingly enough, I want to show you. Yes, this is Shuddha. These are some characters, yes. Oh, this is the main character. I want to tell you a few words about it, as you may maybe perhaps not. So, this is very interesting because Poland, I don't know whether you have been in Poland, but Poland is a very, how to say, we don't have many foreigners in Poland. And especially actors, and that in this production, the director of the play decided to introduce element of, I would say, ethnicity, because the main part of Omo is played by half Ethiopian and half Polish boy. His name is Mikołaj Fobiszek, and as far as I know, he's not an actor. He's a grown-up man because it was in 1997, so it was 17 years ago. And also the card seller, I don't know whether you noticed, the card seller, he is also half Polish and half Mali, half Polish and half Mali original. So it was, I would say, I don't know why he did it. He did not, I mean, discuss with me as a translator, doesn't matter. I was very happy. All the parts of that staging were played by really very well-known Polish actors. So although it was made as a play for children, it's a called children theater, but the actors were really very well-known. The last performance, the last performance of the post office in Poland has also a very strong relation to Dr. Korczak's orphanage. It was staged on the 10th of May 2008, nearly 65 years since the suppression of the uprising in Warsaw Ghetto in 1943. Initiated by the Museum of the History of Polish Jews, the staging of the post office was based on my translation from the Bengali text again. The performance had a subtitle, "What Use is Starlight to Me?", which is the last sentence spoken by Madhav Dutta, the character in the play, foster father to the main character, Omo. His name was Madhav Dutta. And this performance was prepared by a group of young people and directed by two professional directors. All the actors were between 12 and 15 years old, which made them nearly the same age as Korczak's pupils from the orphanage. I think it was absolutely deliberately done. They were students from the suburban high school near Warsaw. The stage set and costumes were also prepared by pupils, this time from a school based in Warsaw district called Muranów, where the ghetto was placed, where the Jewish ghetto was placed. And the performance was accompanied by the impressive live music with Oriental influences. And believe me, I attended this performance. It was really something because it was very unusual. It was an open space, as you can see. It was May, 8th of May, lovely weather, a lot of sun. It was an afternoon. And it reminded me very much of performances I saw when I was a student in India and Shantiniketan. And I think the Tagore also staged all his plays written for his pupils in Shantiniketan in his school and for students in the same spirit. I don't know whether it was done consciously or unconsciously, because in that time, this museum of Polish, Museum of History of Polish Jews, we didn't have a building. The building was just being built, and it was done in front of the tent, which was a symbolic museum. So perhaps it was necessary to do this way, but anyway, it was very, very nice. So I want to see next or some pictures from the piece. As you can see, some characters from the play. Yes. Okay, so this is Omo in the bed, this way. Yes, and the doctor, and brings another doctor, but some brings a letter. Yes, also some pictures that you can see. Well, and what is it? Which is, wait a minute. This is a booklet of the play. That was designed with a track motif that symbolized the old, currently not existing train depot next to Umschlagplatz, I told you, from which Jewish people were deported to concentration camps. I told you that it was really a very moving performance. And what is very important, the directors of the play made two changes of the original. Matthew Dotto, originally the uncle, foster father of the main character, was now the aunt. And the male doctor of the play was now a female. There was also a second performance. There was also a second performance of this play that took place a week later. It served as a part of so-called museum's night. I don't know if we have such a custom here. So this was exactly the same. It was a night performance and viewed by over 200 guests, including some guests from Israel. And now I think the last staging, actually not the whole staging, which is also very interesting, will seem like completely different. I will tell you what is it. So, a fragment from the post office was recently incorporated into another performance entitled Apollonia, which is the name of one of the characters of the play. Apollonia is just a name. And this performance was directed by a very famous Polish theater director, Krzysztof Warlikowski, in Warsaw in 2009. The play talks about sacrifice. It is a very long play, 5 hours long, and it talks about sacrifice and questions the sense of sacrificing a human life in the context of responsibility. The play is a compilation of different texts and plays from different parts of the world. It included texts from Greek, as well as modern Polish writings and foreign writings, even Hans Christian Andersen, Coetzee, the South African writer, Jonathan Little, and Rabindranath Tagore. So I will come to the post office. The play, it discusses the sacrifice of one's life made for others and its consequences. The main message of the play is that it often runs out that acts of bravery and sacrifice done in the name of love and goodwill can, in fact, under some circumstances, cause a lot of grief and anger to our close ones. Well, so, I don't know whether you understand what I wanted to say, but the main character, Apollonia, in the play, was a woman, and he sacrificed his life trying to save some Jewish people. But because of it, her own children became orphans. So this is the problem, whether you can sacrifice your life, or perhaps you can make even more harm to other people. So this is the main idea of the play. The play, the prologue of Apollonia to this play, is based on Tagore's post office. The play begins with the character of Korcha inviting the viewers to see. Oh no, no, I made opposite way. So this is this is very interesting. So the play begins with the character of Korcha inviting the viewers to see the performance on that day, 18th of July 1944. And then the puppets who are brought to the stage by two other actors, you can see them. The puppets stand for children from the orphanage, enact fragments from the post office. So there are no children, there are these puppets who enact, I mean, a part of post office. And they play the scene in which Amal belongs not only for traveling around the world, but also for simple, obvious things like going outside, because his aunt forbids him to go out because he's sick. Again, the director changed the character of Amal's uncle to an aunt. Yes, it was exactly the same as it was in the staging of the Museum of the History of Polish Jews. Perhaps he saw that play and he did it, because in original this is uncle and not aunt. So the stage set implies a confined space, common in Beto's condition. The chair, I don't know whether you can see here, but the chair on which the actors sit and perform are symbolically surrounded by frets. That forced them to go through a lot of physical effort to get to the church and start performing. Threats here symbolize obstacles. So this was done in a little different way. In the conclusion of the scene, we are told that the boy who played Amal, the main character of the post office, together with other children from the orphanage led by Korczak, will get on the train that will take them all to the concentration camp in Treblinka to a gas chamber. And Korczak, in the opening scene, promised the viewers that they would be elevated, this is quotation, they would be elevated, in the invitation to the play, Korczak said that the viewers will be elevated to the highest step on the ladder of emotion. And actually he helped orphans to be elevated, I mean literally elevated, to the steps on the train. So there's a lot of symbolism in it and so on. Janusz Korczak was in this play Apollonia, was the first sacrifice. And by his sacrifice, he did not manage to save anybody. He died together with children, but he couldn't save anyone. He only helped the children to board the train and died. But he is the only example among the other characters in the play. This is a very long play, 5 hours long, and I told you based on different texts, whose sacrifice is not questioned in this play. Well, what else I can tell you? So these are also some from the beginning. So this is the very beginning of the play. It takes something 7 minutes, 10 minutes only. Only it starts. What else?
As theater, would it be alright if we also engage in some questions?
I'm just finishing. Okay. So one more. I can finish. This is why I show you. This is, you know, so-called in Poland. If we celebrate very much 1st of November, which is All Saint Days, and usually all this television broadcasting of this play was next to this date. So this is very significant. So I think I said everything for you, and I can say that once, I mean, post office was a great inspiration for Korczak. And now, thanks to Karpczak, this play is present in Polish memory. So thank you very much. If you have any questions, I will try to answer you.
Also, just as a way, I think it's important for the audience here. Yes. Also, just go into the German, just a little bit of the German history. I would like to intervene and just introduce a few things. Which is the fact that the Boer basically came in for the first time to Germany in 1921, and this was also the moment at which he gained such immense popularity after having won the Nobel Prize. There were literally sort of hordes of people who, poets, philosophers, who would struggle to hear him, and in that struggle would be people like Rainer Maria Rilke, and would be there were translations by André Gide, live translations, also radio translation before the fall of Paris to the Nazis. So all of these sort of multiple voices that would surround De Boer's physical presence as a speaker, as a traveler who's was constantly even questioning and critiquing the performances of the play. He was sort of not just an audience of to his own plays, but he was constantly thinking about, one, the condition of Europe at that point at which he would enter Germany or various other states of Europe, or what was happening in the Indian freedom struggle at that point in time. So that was the way in which the narrative would be plotted back within the sort of social landscape of both the Indian subcontinent, his ideas of an Asian modernity, as well as the realities of war in Europe. So those are some, what you would see here are very rare documents from the Volksbühne performance, and these are all done by leading theatre directors of Germany. So some of which did have, which we could say did end up being mobilized by the Nazi ideology, either against their efforts, but also at some points they went along with it. So there's a lot of contestation. Where does that anti-fascist turn happen, and where does it actually slip in favor of a certain ideology? And so what you see here are some performances, as in this case by Fritz Witzen at the Jewish Cultural Theater in 1937, but others which were at the Volksbühne, and had, you know, one can one needs to really go into much more details and have a refined way of looking at the historical consequences of these stages. And also some of the artistic works that we present are trying to make symbolic, the once again, the characters of De Boer. So all of these rural protagonists, like the curd seller and like the doctor, the local doctor, the village headman, are all somehow once again looked at in their symbolic value, but also in their value as laborers, as those who end up servicing a kind of local economy, and what that meant in terms of the school's location, the Chandni Ketan as a school, its location within the rural. What is mean? What are the communities that live around? What is the outside there? So all of those things are mobilized through this presentation that moves from Germany, Poland, and then back into the school's local realities itself. But if there's any questions now specifically for Elspeta, we could.
If you have any questions, I can answer, so you're welcome. What I can say, this is really important in this play, in, I think, in Polish culture, and now, but now, Polish office exists together with culture in Poland.
I mean, thank you so much for this trip. That was nice. I don't have any direct questions to the presentation, because it's clear. it's a very neat line out. But I think about the usage of the word symbolic with respect to the play and its stagings, and also, as mentioned, the way that can teach.
Yeah, in either direction.
And that makes me fantasize and wonder also about the aesthetic quality of the play and this language that you have been engaged with on a more intimate level as well, as far as I can understand.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, maybe it's too much to ask, but so the notion of the symbolic with respect to the play, can you talk more about that and how that could be understood with respect to the tradition also that the play is stealing from?
Mm-hmm.
And is there any other kind of aesthetic intensities that the play and its staging comes along with that can make us understand it in a different way than through trying to read the signs or interpret the symbols? I don't know, it's a strange question.
I think with the, well, one thing is also the reason for that we kind of tried to start with Tagore himself as the poet, philosopher, playwright, playing the multiple characters himself.
Mm.
So he sort of plays the role of the fakir, but also the role of the king. And I think those kind of valencies are extremely crucial, because it also somehow then that trope of the king who never actually arrives is also the call of the fact that within this kind of subjugation, one cannot complete. There is sort of no arrival. And the death of Amal, as Beata was sort of indicating, is this unfinished business. You know, it sort of what does it mean? What does it mean when he drifts into sleep at a point at which the nation has still not arrived in its own identity? And
meaning, you know. Translation doesn't show everything, because it was translated as post office, but there is a double meaning, because in Bengali, Daghar, it is a Daghar in Bengali, means the room that darks, also can be interpreted. So this is symbolic.
Can you repeat it again? I didn't hear it.
The room that calls. Dag in Bengali is calling, and Ghar is a room, a room of a house. So there is a symbolic meaning in it.
And Shivani, you want to say something?
Yeah,
yes.
No, I just say maybe there's a kind of innate ambiguity that in translation, which is kind of, you know, when you read, like you translate from the world, so you have a facility in knowing the language. So you know that when this Doiwala, the card seller appears, and when certain Mukherjee translates it from Macmillan for the first time in English, the Doiwala, the card seller, transforms into something impersonal. And you know that whole thing of calling, of, you know, how Amon sort of teaches, apparently the card seller, the craft of selling card, and then the aesthetics in that. And because of which so this interstices of aesthetics that sort of marks different presences from Doiwala to, and then those impersonations, the kind of problematics that they're marked by when they try to stage it at different points of time, those characters, becomes especially like what you call dramaturgic problematic. So that problematic, I think that he brought out nicely through the mise-en-scene that Andre Weider did in dissociating that compact and that whole fantasy element in that play. That is embedded in that play, but in a different way. Because if you read that play, that the only original text that is available, and all the other are subtexts, and the original and the only Bengali text that is available has so many elements missing, which later on gets compiled into that volume of Tagore's writings.
I think it's also very important that this, like, it was first acted out in Ireland and then it went.
Mm-hmm.
So the way that it's
he several times in fact also that he tried several times in enacting it in Vichitra in Calcutta, several times, 3-4 times. And it was the end of his life in 1939. Comes his last attempt in acting, staging it in Calcutta, wiring, there are several observations that I will have my chance in speaking about this, so I am exhausted perhaps by now, but then I want to say that there are certain ambiguities which are embedded in that, with or without context, contextually. So each one producing, you brought it out nicely that each one is producing its own contextuality. That, that gives the, helps us in allowing a fresh look at the play as an ambiguous text in which, into which you have an entry, from which of the point of view, mostly distressed point of view, points of view. Like that is what I think is
And then now, in that, because I don't know if you know, the play was written originally in Bengali. And in Bengali, Dagakar means the room that calls also.
And
Dagakar means in contemporary Bengali, Dagakar means simply post office. But literally, it means the room that calls. And it is absolutely correct translation. Am I right?
Yes.
You are Bengali.
Right.
I translated from Bengali and I can see that. Still, it is. It is nearly 100 years old. Play.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
102 years.
Yes, but the language is very contemporary. Very contemporary, and it's a full. I mean, in every time you can find something. Now I can say only this: that I am a witness, actually, in my life, not such a long life, that now. In Poland, post office exists mostly connected with the name of Karczuk. Just 2 years ago was an anniversary of his death. There were a lot of,
a lot of function
on this occasion. And just, you know, I work in the entomology field, something like 40 years. So it's actually the end of my career, university career. So at the beginning, no one knew it, but now even in Poland, our Jewish-Polish connection are becoming a little bit different, so it's more spoken about this, and so on. So that's why there are 3 TV adaptations and 5 translations, this is amazing. This is only Polish language spoken by 36 million people, not like English or even German. So it must be something. It must be something. And this is really full of symbolism, this play. And I think according to the age when it is staged, you can find something. You saw this black and white pictures of the 1958 production. It was done in a spirit of fairy tale. I mean, some of you even smile.
Yes,
because it was completely different. And the last one was really a little bit, for me, like a little bit Greek style, no? Ancient Greek, gray, and very, very high spirit.
Maybe just as a note of conclusion to also reflect definitely on the gender aspect, just as a conclusion note, because the fact was that constantly this child protagonist, a male child protagonist, was played by women, constantly. So whether it was throughout these performances in Germany or also for us what has been a very, very important performance this by this theatre group from Northeast India, the actor here is not a young woman playing a child, but an extremely senior actor who's over 70 years old. And clearly, there is this her containment or her sort of the fact that she is awaiting for this letter while she's trapped and while she's approached by these kind of presences, these dissonant presences, it holds a whole other meaning as well. And so I think that gender element is something to be quite conscious about. Again, it's a way also of critiquing Tagore himself, who might have in his poetry romanticized about the pastoral and the woman in the village. And here is this woman who's sort of calling out against the state. Mm-hmm. So I think those echoes of the play are also
important. The meaning of the play, and Bengali is Dabghar. So now it is post office, but there is a double meaning. In the play, the king opened post office in front of Amal's window. Amal was sick and he couldn't go out. I couldn't go outside, as I told you, but he could see post office. So, and post office, I mean, that car in Bengali means that, means calling, and the car means room. So the room that is calling. This is a symbolic play, and actually the five more dramas in Bengali, Tagore's dramas were translated into Polish, only five, because he wrote something like 50, and three of them were symbolic, because it is a field, a place for interpretation in different times. Now, for example, in Poland, post office is connected, I think, forever with culture, due to some historical situation and so on. Yes? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.